kind welcome once again to another edition of what I call American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner at C20. Oh, I don't know. 25th. The day after UN Day. Shame on me. This is UN Celebration Week here, as we always do this on American Exposé. Have a week-long celebration. Well, what am I talking about? I'm always talking about the UN system because everything goes back to that, I'm sorry to say. We have the road to Rio and the road from Rio. Rio de Janeiro, it's Agenda 21 for Change. That will be sometime today. We have that off of Unattractive, as well as this, World Peace Through World Force, Creating the UN Army. Oh, boy. World Peace Through World Force, Creating the UN Army. Entries from Unattractive.com, a partner website to ours. Then we see the new urbanism creating livable, sustainable communities, giving people more choices about where and how they want to live. Is that a fact, Jack? Just amazing. And so they want us to be a part of the fast-growing new urbanism movement. And you can list your firm or service for the Marketplace Professional Services Directory. But there are always strings attached to that, listeners. And companies that come on board in this green building project. Dennis the Menace and his staff are, well, they've been doing some tremendous work on the website. Tremendous information. I'm so happy that they're there. They are an asset to our country. We're going to have Ben Livingston with us for the first 45 minutes of the broadcast. And then we will have Vicki with us, as she's done a tremendous amount of research as well. Tomorrow on the first hour, we'll have Elizabeth with us. And then the second hour tomorrow, we'll have William back, who is also doing some tremendous research. You know, I can chronicle these people and expose them so you can understand where they're coming from, and then you can build on their impetus. That's the only thing I can recommend at this situation. We've got to increase our ability to spread and disseminate the information. Just like that gentleman in Iowa who's going to do that presentation with the county commissioners. I have a mailing for him. Lots of tremendous information. He wants to show a video, and I said, no, don't show a video. Just do it yourself. Don't promote anybody else's direction. Do it yourself. It gives you more confidence. It makes you look better, and that is the bottom line. Don't go and bring a TV set with a video player and show it to the county commissioners. It will turn them off, no matter what video it is. Just come up with the paperwork, the documentation. Do a little preparation, pre-preparation, before you show up to these county commissioners, and then let them have it with the documentation and information that is so hidden to most of us. And certainly the biggest secret in this day and time, listeners, is Agenda 21. It's just the way it is. I can't help that. I wish I could do other things. I wish I could reminisce. But, you know, we don't have time to waste, listeners. Weather modification, a major engineering direction to deceive us. If they can be steered, they can be steered away from harm's way. They can be stopped. And yet, look at all the damage as a result of Rita, Katrina, and Wilma. Fred Flintstone would be proud. We'll be back. Stay with us. Keep in mind, Darren's section, whether we like it or not, that section on our website, and then number 56 in the section of research dated today, number 56, weather control technologies, directory weather control. We have Ben Livingston with us. Ben, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, sir.
What is it with this situation that you're involved with that might seem to frustrate you regarding these three hurricanes that have hit the Gulf Coast?
Well, I might back up a little bit and say, I personally was even more frustrated when the four hurricanes hit Florida last year. it was at that time that I started trying to get the people's attention, the fact that we had the technology, the materials, the people, and the equipment to jumpstart the technology that, for some reason or other, was dropped by the government in 1969.
A little background on yourself and your experience. Why don't you give that to the listeners and let us know your expertise on this subject of weather modification?
Well, first of all, I've had 3 years of typhoon reconnaissance and research experience in the Pacific Ocean as a flight meteorologist, and I've had 2.5 years experience with the hurricane hunters out of Jacksonville, Florida. But in 1964, when I was assigned to the hurricane hunters in Florida, I was also appointed as a national directive for Project Storm Fury Advisory Board. And that was the board that, if you will, that made the rules and so forth that had to be followed by the experiments that were conducted on hurricanes from 1964 on. That's not to say that were the first storms that they had been experimented with for wind reduction. But 1964 was the first time that the national effort made, especially by the Navy, to get their aircraft properly equipped and people trained and absolutely be ready to assist the Weather Bureau or NOAA in collecting the data to verify whatever work was done on the project of hurricane damage reduction. And I was the special project officer for that Project Storm Fury military applications, and worked very closely with the people from universities and NOAA and other government agencies to ensure that we got good results or some results from the experimental flights we made.
I see. So in other words, since the 1960s, you've been working with a group of people, of employees for the federal government and private companies, to move hurricanes away from harm's way?
The objective of Project Storm Fury, which I consider myself to be an extension of that, because we practice the same technology all through the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and presently, everything has been improved. The aircraft, the navigation facilities, the materials, and the people, everything has been improved. But still, if you put it in a proper classification, we've just been improving on Project Storm Fury ever since 1969. There's been some real false stuff been printed about Project Storm Fury the last couple of months, and the last one I saw was in Business Week, I believe, this week. But I think it would be extremely important and maybe enlightening to the people who may be listening to know exactly what was the truth and the actual happenings at the end of Project Storm Fury when everyone had their act together.
Please tell us.
Okay. On August 18th in 1969, Hurricane Debby was seeded 5 times at 2-hour intervals on the 18th. And the researchers from both the Storm Fury and the NOAA researchers determined that the maximum winds had decreased from 115 to 80 miles per hour, or a reduction of about 45% in damage potential. And for the next 24 hours, that hurricane was left alone. And when the aircraft returned for the second seedings on August the 20th, the second seedings decreased the wind speeds again by just under 100 miles an hour, another 24% damage reduction. And we know that there were several scientists who were not satisfied with the results or the data that was collected from that storm, so they asked the Stanford Research Institute to make a third-party evaluation of what Storm Fury had done, and here's what they concluded. They said they, meaning the modifiers, may have to accept responsibility for not seeding and thereby exposing the public to higher probabilities of severe storm damage and possible higher death tolls. We claim they should consider seeding now if a big hurricane comes straight from Miami. Now, after that evaluation was made, and I had just recently completed a two-year weather control project in Southeast Asia, which was a tremendous success and written up in the Department of Defense and so forth, some of the scientists involved decided that they wanted to do more research before we did any more applications engineering on hurricanes. So since 1954, the Weather Bureau and NOAA have been funded with a responsibility for developing an operational method for reducing damages from hurricanes. And since 1969, there has not been one flight made. And now it's the national policy not to support these kind of operations. So my complaint is that while NOAA and those folks, and I know these folks, and they're my friends, and I like them, all that, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But they're not pursuing any applications engineering on hurricanes, and we know because all the commercial operators around the world do this kind of thing in the summertime every day. And the object there is to change the structure of these big energy cells, which are the same kind of cells that make up hurricanes. We don't have any doubt that we can do this mission, and we think that since the private sector is qualified and equipped to do this, and the government's not, we don't really understand why they're not willing to invest a few million dollars as insurance against spending several billion dollars. But that's the case as it stands right now, is the senators and so forth, the senators, I should say, not and so forth, but the senators won't even respond to correspondence with proposals in them for doing this sort of thing.
Do you suppose they're told not to respond?
I don't know what they're told, but they certainly do not respond, and the last letter I sent to them, which was a four-page letter, but we outlined all the procedures, the equipment, and the people and so forth that would be involved in this so they could look at any of us that they wanted to. But we are all professionals. We're not a bunch of yahoos out here that don't know what we're doing or know what we're working with to make things happen when we see the hurricane clouds in a hurricane.
Are you part of Weather Modification Incorporated, correct, or were?
Well, I consult with them, and we work together. We're on the same team, if you will.
And how long has Weather Modification been in existence, incorporated?
Oh, about 40 years.
40 years.
Yeah.
And because I remember promoting you guys back in the late 90s, the fact that Weather Modification Incorporated existed, the fact that weather modification has happened in the past, and whenever we have a storm, we don't know whether it's been created or engineered to create the damage that's been done.
Yeah. Well, the records are very complete on where and when WeatherMod does a project, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
They write extensive reports, and they're available to anyone who needs them.
Yes. Now, the fact that this is the case and that we've had so much damage and so much publicity about the damage, aren't you suspicious that something's underway here?
You know, I don't like to think that in those terms, but the harder I look at it, the more concerned I am about those kind of things. Because if you study the economics of it, there are some tremendous advantages to be had by the construction, if you will, industry. These people they get a lot of emergency contract and doing a hell of a lot of building and so forth, and the prices of lumber goes up nationwide, and it seems not to come back down again. And the same with oil. And I know the oil business well enough to know that they feel bad about having their infrastructure torn up and having to raise prices just to get it back in shape again. But also knowing that some of that might be prevented makes me feel even worse.
I understand.
Because no one seemed to be willing to pay a small amount of money in terms of the damages they can prevent.
There you have it. Now, we're with Ben Livingston, and he's very knowledgeable about this subject. He'll be with us all for about another 30 minutes, and I suggest you take notes, listeners, so you can pass this on to other talk shows as you progress. Stay with us. Welcome back to the broadcast. Weather Modification Incorporated is also commonly known as cloud seeding. This is Weather Modification is also commonly known as cloud seeding, cloud modification, atmospheric resource management, and precipitation management. Weather Modification Incorporated specializes and excels in all aspects of this water management technology. Specifically, we offer a complete range of services from turnkey operational programs for rainfall increase, which is rain enhancement, snowpack augmentation, hail damage mitigation or hail suppression, and fog clearing, which is fog dissipation, to technical assistance and or technology transfer for all of these. And so, Ben, we see the fact that this is a reality. Is there such a thing called drought inducement?
Is there such a thing?
Have you ever heard of the word drought inducement?
I have not, but I don't have any doubt that it's possible.
I see.
You see, there are certain missions on at certain times, if you will, when the objective is to get rid of the clouds. If you have a cloud in an operating area where your radar and other meteorological data indicates that it may cause problems, then your best bet is to get rid of all or part of that cloud. And by overseeding the top part of it, generally the top part, it'll blow away and it'll stop all activities from coming out the bottom.
Really?
Yeah. See, in any weather control program, or such as we did in Vietnam, part of that project over there was not only to make it rain so that the Vietnamese trucks couldn't get down the road, but to stop it from raining where our troops needed to be. So that was a weather control program. In the name of my company or my license in the state of Colorado, when I operated as a commercial weather control operator, the license was called Weather Control.
I see.
You see? So that in the instance of hurricanes, our first hypothesis here would be to simply reduce the number of energy developing cells within a hurricane to stop it from growing, if you will, take the energy out of it. And this is a practical thing to do. It's a doable thing to do, and we have the information from satellites and our own onboard radars in the airplanes to select the clouds that are potential targets and then go certify or verify that those clouds contain what we have, what we need to work with, and then we do that. That is, we alter that cloud the way we think it needs to be altered to suit the situation.
So last year there was a series of five hurricanes in Florida. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And when those hurricanes were coming one after another, were you and your colleagues concerned for our country?
We're not only concerned, we were trying desperately to get someone to at least sponsor 1 month of it so we could show them it works. But we couldn't get a sponsor, and at that time, I had been in close contact with my state senators, you know, here in Texas, but we had not asked for any government help. We thought that, or we'd reasoned that the insurance and the energy industries would be, you know, very anxious to see someone demonstrate that they could reduce damages from hurricanes. But we didn't, the funding didn't materialize, and so this year we're making the approach that everyone expects it to be it is a government responsibility to protect their citizens from natural disasters, just like they did from a recurrence of 9/11, you see.
Yes. And now, the fact that this is the case, isn't this going to implicate a lot of people in some very scrupulous directions?
I didn't really understand your question, Chris.
My feeling is that the fact that these hurricanes can be steered away from harm's way, or suppressed away from harm's way, that the fact that they've been allowed to come to this country and create all the damage and havoc that they've created, wouldn't that implicate certain government officials as being corrupt or complacent in this direction?
Well, it certainly makes one question whether a class action lawsuit of some kind may not be appropriate. But I don't think that's... I know, because I know too many people involved in this, that their intent is certainly not to let any extra harm happen to this country. But if you let me read to you what the national policy is, you'll understand why they don't won't support people like us to go out and do applications engineering and let them know what they've learned is of any benefit to anyone or not.
I would like to have you do that, but we're about to approach another commercial pause.
Okay.
And when you come back, let's do that. If this situation that we live today, that this scenario that's getting so much publicity, and the fact that FEMA's come into place, smart growth is being engineered now out of the death and destruction that's happened in Katrina. Listeners, here we have someone that's experienced this throughout his life. This is his business, and what else do we need to get to our representatives to expose this, listeners? What else do we need? We'll be back to continue with Ben Livingston. Stay with us. Broadcast listeners, Ben Livingston is our guest. I'm watching CNN. There's cars lined up for miles and miles and miles in Broward County, Florida, waiting for supplies. A line of cars for miles, absolute miles. Wear and tear on vehicles, wear and tear on people and their frustrations as a result of this latest Hurricane Wilma. Ben, do you have a website by chance?
No, sir, I don't have a website.
Uh-huh. Do you associate yourself with a certain website of any kind of at all?
Well, no, I don't. I really don't.
Uh-huh.
I work with WeatherMod and a couple of other professional people, if you will, on our team.
Uh-huh.
But I really do. I do different things than weather control. This just become a real problem for me when the Florida thing started. And I've done since then is try to get Project Storm Fury jump started, see if we can't do something about these hurricanes.
Do you have any associates that might be willing to come on the air to discuss these topics as well?
Well, I haven't asked anyone about this, but I don't have any problem telling the world, you know, who's on our team. Because I think we're the most professional and most highly qualified people in the world to do what we're claiming we can do.
Yes.
You see?
Uh-huh.
First of all, I think it would be interesting for everyone to know that what the national policy is
yes.
on hurricane or weather control.
Please.
And I'll read from a letter signed by a PhD from NOAA, from the Office of the Department of Commerce. The approach of NOAA with regard to minimizing the impact of hurricanes on U.S. citizens is to improve our forecast of the track and intensity of storms and to better warn those in harm's way. It is no longer the policy of NOAA to support or conduct weather modification research.
Huh.
This has been their policy for 35 years. And what that means is we've got two cultures involved here. The culture of the peer research scientist, person who definitely has a distinct place in this industry. And then we have the applications engineers, the people who go out and do the work and depend on their efforts to save crops or save lives or, you know, or save damages. And we just happen to be the group that the Weather Bureau chooses not to support.
Well, isn't that just ironic?
I think it's really pretty sad, and that's why I'm working on this pretty hard to see if we can't get someone to have a change of their mind, because I can also assure you that the Project Storm Fury didn't die for lack of science. And I will read you something, just a couple of lines here.
Please.
from the person who's been identified as the father of weather modification, Dr. Robert Simpson. And he says to me, "We have suffered some very disappointments as the tide turned against further modification efforts, not because of the science. We still think it's a good science, but because of political squabbles which extended to a level of character assassination that threatened our career objectives." And he talked about he and Dr. Joanne Simpson, his wife.
Uh-huh.
In other words, the science was good, and the science was being proven more every day. And for some reason or other, I believe that the people that know would be responsible for this, they put up an obstacle to Project Storm Fury to ensure that it never could be a success. And the way they did that was by creating a small football-like area out north of San Juan, Puerto Rico, and east of old Miami, or an area out in there. So that the only time you could seed or modify a hurricane was if it came through that little area, because historically any hurricane that ever got in that area never made it to shore. So it gave you an almost impossible target for those hurricanes to aim at to start with, and if they didn't go through that, then we couldn't control them. So it was. I've maintained a long time ago that the Storm Fury project was engineered to fail, because after no storms came through that small area in any frequency whatsoever, it was easy then to make the claim we're not getting enough storms. We can't afford to keep waiting. So let's put our money into research.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yes. What do you think of the opportunity to get Robert Simpson on the air?
Well, I have numerous letters from Dr. Simpson here, and I suspect he's 91 years old.
Oh, my.
And the reason he's not working with me, if you will, almost on a daily basis, is because of his age and health problems.
Certainly.
So I don't think it would be fair to ask him.
Probably not.
You see?
Yes. Yes. What I'd like to do in the future is kind of work with you and see if we could get more people to augment what you're talking about. Have you heard of the document Owning the Weather 2025 from
no,
the
sir.
Air Force?
I haven't, but you know what? I think I read that just because I read. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Not because of any particular interest I might have in it.
Uh-huh.
But I believe I do remember reading that. And as best I recall, I didn't put a lot of stock in it.
Yes, because the weather can already be owned, right?
The weather, no, it can't be owned. I don't believe it can be owned. I believe it can be marginally modified or changed, you know.
Uh-huh.
But we still have to face the fact that some person a lot bigger than us made these clouds. And we may be helping him to save lives and so forth, but I don't think there's ever intended that we would just completely, if you will, kill hurricanes. You understand, you know, if you appreciate the fact, in some parts of the world, they're welcome because they bring a lot of rain.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
But it's a fine line on the East Coast, and our operation, if we were to do it, would all be confined to 400 miles or closer to the shoreline and in the Gulf of Mexico. We don't have any problem except in the fact that you've got big winds and heavy rains at sea, but we would like to have them marginalized considerably so that the people whose houses and businesses are on shore don't get blown away or torn up.
Certainly.
You see, because that's when the other part of the NOAA policy comes in, is that the people, part of their objective, of course, is to instruct people on how to cope with these things. Sorry, you're going to get it, but here's your best way, get in the cellar or go hit the road, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that's not a good alternative to trying to prevent the damages in the first place.
No.
And that's what we're advocating is let's go and check, the state of the art by doing applications work on some hurricanes that are posing a threat to someone.
Yes. Apparently the devastation in Cancun, Mexico is devastating.
Yes, sir.
And there's people stranded to this very moment.
Yeah.
We have a couple of callers. Would you entertain a couple of phone calls, would you, Ben?
Yes, sir.
Let's see what Gary has to say. Hello, Gary.
Yes, I'm in the part of Kansas City in the southern part. A week ago, October 17th, we had four jet aircraft spraying back and forth. I wish I would have videoed it. We had a blue sky day started out that day, no clouds in the sky, and they sprayed all day, all afternoon, and even in the evening when I walked out about 10 o'clock, you could see the trails that they were leaving in the sky. And you say you see the clouds. Well, what if they don't see clouds, what are they throwing up there, do you know?
I didn't really hear the question very well, but I understand that you observed four jet aircraft
flying
in the air, and you think they were emitting some kind of chemical?
Yes,
because it was a blue sky day, and these trails especially widened and almost went into each other, and they were going back and forth, putting equal signs up and crisscrossing and doing all sorts of weird things. But again, at night when I went out and it was a full moon night, they were still spraying up there. So they for some reason, last Monday on the 17th, they were spraying pretty heavy all day. No clouds in the sky either.
Well, many of us have seen this spraying going on. Do you know what that is about?
Ben? I'll tell you what I think it's about. It's not unusual, if you will, to make or not make contrails or condensation trails come out of your tailpipe in a jet aircraft. It's a science of war to launch a fighter aircraft or other attack aircraft at altitudes and conditions where you don't leave condensation trails for the simple reason you can see them from so far. So it would not surprise me one bit that these people weren't, if you will, intentionally making condensation trails. Intentionally making condensation trails. I believe certainly that can be done because I've personally done it many times before myself. So I don't really recognize any nefarious activities taking place there because of those maneuvers that you may have observed.
But the weird thing is they didn't dissipate. They stayed up there for long periods of time and spread wide. And from my experience being in the Navy, a condensation trail to me was a little tail that stayed behind the jet aircraft or whatever and dissipated within a short period of time. It didn't stay up there for hours or even minutes at a time. And I remember that in the 80s. And I know the Air Force and Navy has a lot to do with this stuff. And James was on a couple weeks back with Chris. I can't remember his last name.
McKinney.
Yeah, he knew the truth. He was shedding the truth of satellites doing a lot of weird things, and hurricanes that do get their momentum is from above, not below in the waters. And he had it spotted on from what I learned in the Navy back in the 80s.
Well, anyway, you're not too aware of the aerial spraying.
I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you guys very well.
Apparently you're not aware of the aerial spraying that's been going on around the country?
I'm not, but I'm familiar with it going on, you know, for the 20 years I was in the military.
Uh-huh.
And knowing the reasons for it. So, no, but I'm absolutely not. I couldn't comment on
okay.
what he saw or...
Gary,
take care. Thanks for your time, guys, and we'll check you later. Take care, and we'll check you later.
Thank you, Gary. Let's move to Eric. Eric, speak up to Ben now, and welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, speak up.
Yes, I just want to follow up on a point your previous guest. Number one is, I don't know if you're aware of it, but George Norrie had a show, I'm sure your listeners are, last week on Earth changes and things relating to that, in which James McCanney, an earthquake expert, and Stan Dale, I think his name, who's into other stuff, was on it. But the point was, can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Uh-uh.
Well, the point is, I heard Mr. Livingston on Alex Jones's show, in which he said he worked with a team on Storm Fury, and I just want to verify if he knows James McCanney, first of all, because he was supposed to be one of that team.
Okay, Ben, do you know James McCanney?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and so...
But he wasn't on the team at the time when I was on it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well...
While I was a member of the military member of the Storm Fury Advisory Board,
uh-huh.
I took off and went to Vietnam for 2 years to do weather control projects over there.
Okay, so you were involved in Vietnam in the storm augmentation to flood the Ho Chi Minh Trail.
I actually designed that project and operated it.
Oh, very, very good. Vital information, listeners.
Yes, sir, and you know, I have a letter of commendation here from the Secretary of the Navy for the results of that, and I briefed President Roosevelt on what we were doing over there, and it was subsequently identified as a military weapon system.
Uh-huh.
I have all that documented here, you know, in my files.
Am I still on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Does Mr. Livingston trust James McCanney's credibility and what he thinks is going on?
I don't know him personally or professionally well enough to comment.
Okay, because what he specifically said on George Norrie's roundtable last week was that he believes that there are orbiting satellites probably put up by the Defense Department that are using high-energy lasers to either heat the atmosphere and the ionosphere or the water, I don't know which. But along with that, he was asked a question on Norrie's show. If you go back to Norrie's archives, I'm sure you can find it from last week, how accurate is this or how credible is this? And another scientist said he saw what happened to him was a space in the sky in which a trailing chemtrail, something, whatever it was, went up in the air and cleared a space. And then this other scientist said he saw a laser light shining through that. Now, if that's true, it more than verifies what James McCanney said, backed up by another scientist, and we are way beyond the level of worrying about seeding clouds. So it's vital that Mr. McCanney and other people who know the newest technology that's affecting weather control disseminate their information as much as possible, because we're in a different world, and I just think if we're 25 years ahead with the black ops scientists and technology, we don't even know the tip of the iceberg of what's really going on. So I just wanted to make that point.
Well, thank you, Eric.
And for Chris, I just want to tell you, I appreciate your show. I've been listening to it for over a couple months now, and I'm worried that shortwave is soon going to be cut off and we're going to lose you and whatever else, because they're probably going to start jamming that, maybe in my paranoia, but I don't think it is paranoia in this day and age. But I just hope that somehow all you people who are on these so-called patriot networks can get together and stop this infighting and get some kind of funds to keep this thing going, because it's the most important time in our country's history, and I don't care what network it is. You all need to work together somehow to keep this information going, because if we lose this vital lifeline, we have lost the war, and I just want to make that point.
I agree. Thank you,
Eric.
You all take care. Thanks a lot.
No, Eric, if you're still there, let me mention something to you.
Okay.
As you know, our federal budget's in a pretty bad shape right now, and the hurricane Katrina and Rita, now Wilma, have not helped that at all. Yet, when you correspond to the correspondence that I've had with my senators here, their response to my request for the government to come up with some money to pay for a hurricane damage reduction program has been that the budget is in such a big mess now, we can't afford to mess around with stuff like you're doing.
Huh.
You see?
Well, I just have one follow-up, and that is that I'm convinced so much of the money that we know nothing about has gone into these black ops programs that is doing what's going on now, and we have no control over what's happening, and because of that, somehow we have to get more of this information out to tell people, you know, this isn't the realm of science fiction anymore. This is reality now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Eric.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Ben, can you stay with us a few more minutes?
Yes, sir.
Okay, wonderful. We'll
thank
be
you.
Back and wrap it up with TJ. Stay with us. Ben Livingston will be with us for a few more minutes here. I have a question that was sent to me. Is there the ability to suppress tornadoes, Ben? Can tornadoes be suppressed?
I really feel like you could do something with them. I don't know that you could ever completely cause them to not occur because you would have to be reactive to that. But I suspect that if they were properly modified, some things would happen to them, and it wouldn't be all bad. It's an extremely violent science to be involved in, and I think maybe that may be as much the reason as anything else why we haven't pursued it.
I see.
It's bad enough in some of these thunderstorms you get in when you know you're getting into problems. But it's something else to have a wish of suicide and go flying in a tornado. You know, they're just too violent for an airplane to stand.
But
Chris, one of the things I'd like to, after Eric called a while ago,
yes,
one of the things I would like to encourage people at least to think about, you know, if there are projects taking place, and I'm sure there are, in this black budget, those probably are extremely far out research, and they're being performed to try to learn more military applications than civilian applications. And I don't think we as citizens ought to be terribly concerned about that. But I do think that we ought to be concerned about not using the practical state of the art materials and equipment and so forth that could save a bunch of lives and hurricane damage reduction.
Yeah, the point is, you're apparently not versed on the UN system and its Agenda 21 program.
No, I'm not.
And this is where I've been researching for quite a long time.
Okay.
And the Security Council of the UN system apparently has made mandates on every country in the world to reduce its population. And
oh, my goodness.
Yes. And if you'll visit my website, you'll see a lot of that information.
Yeah, I will. And what is your website?
It's American, spelled with a K, AmericanKan, EXPOSE.
Okay.
.com.
All right. I will do that.
Let's have TJ for the last few moments. TJ, welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Mr. Ben, I appreciate your benevolent intent. However, I've been in weather modification observation for 6 years, and it's ongoing. Anybody can watch, witness, and then do follow-up research all over the Internet, sometimes in the newspapers. And in the late 90s, Hillary Clinton informed David Letterman live on television in a response to David's question, does the U.S. Air Force own the weather? Her response allegedly was, one word, succinct, possibly honest, it was yes.
No kidding.
And we need to, most of your listeners know about all the weather modification document, or at least some of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's very little that's not known or can't be found. It is high-tech. It is not benevolent. It is predominantly used in accordance with the UN and the UND population and their own crop reduction agendas. This is common knowledge.
Well,
cloud seeding is like bringing a hard rubber vehicle to a drag race.
Keep in mind, it's common knowledge to those that have the computer and the ability to do that, as Ben does not.
No, I do have. I would very strongly disagree with that.
Glasses this day.
Let's keep you over for the next few moments, okay, Ben? Just for the next couple of minutes,
okay.
We wrap it up.
Okay.
Thank you.